something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
This is Rachel Goes Rogue.
Welcome back to another episode of Rachel Goes Rogue. This is your host, Rachel Savannah Levis, and today we are responding to episode 12 of Vanderpump Rules. It seems like this whole episode is a response to the Bethany Frankel interview I did back in August. Whew, and the cast has many opinions on it. The thing that I don't appreciate is the cast picking and choosing what I said, taking it out of context and spinning it to make it seem like I'm this horrible person, which I did a horrible thing. My behavior was that, but it just seems like their response to my podcast was a little extreme. And I'm trying not to get wrapped up in it because when I was watching this and prepping these side-by-side videos that I posted on my Instagram, it really took me into this vortex tunnel that I don't like to be in. This show is not healthy for me and it like targets my insecurities and I don't like it. I don't love being in an emotional state of feeling like I need to defend myself. And I felt like this episode was an attack on my character. If I don't defend myself, then people are just going to consume that and assume that that's actually what I said. And it's not. I'm not going to let them rewrite my narrative. What they're saying is not true. And we're here to dispute that today. What I would like to do is with my producers, read some of the quotes, what the cast claims I said versus what I actually said on the Bethany Frankel interview. The first one is Sheena talking to Ariana and Lala. Sheena says, she says that they were just acquaintances at best. This is in reference to my friendship with Ariana. What I actually said was,
Ariana and I were not best friends. We were acquaintances who became friends through the show. Mm-hmm. She's always been somebody who's been very sweet to me. She would stand up for me and encourage me to pursue whatever I was pursuing. And that was all great. But we never had like a deep conversation that I would have with a best friend.
Okay, so I was explaining the purpose of saying we were acquaintances that became friends through the show was to demonstrate that the narrative that was being put out there that Ariana and I were best friends is false. And I still stand by that. Yes, Ariana and I, you know, we hung out in group settings, but I stand by what I said. We didn't have those in-depth conversations. And I acknowledge what I did was messed up. I get it. Like, I get any level of friendship, it's still messed up. I understand. But production chose to run with the narrative that Ariana and I were best friends. And that's not the case. The next one is Ariana talking to Sheena and Lala. Okay, Ariana says, Rachel and I spent a ton of time together.
Although I wasn't hanging out with Ariana off camera to begin with, I did start hanging out with her in a group setting because Tom would always invite me out. So it did seem like we were close friends from the outside looking in. But in those situations, I was hanging out with Tom more than I was hanging out with her. So
did you ever spend time with Ariana off camera and away from the show?
No, not just us together. No,
never.
No.
Tom was the one inviting me out and telling me like, it's all good. He would get me in a mental headspace where I felt more comfortable hanging out with her in a group setting. But even then I wasn't that comfortable because I was drinking so much alcohol. And I know this may sound like excuses to some of you guys, but I was not physically comfortable hanging out with her. And I did distance myself quite a bit. And Tom told me that she noticed.
So now we're like a year later and they're rehashing this. How does it make you feel now? Like a year has passed.
Feel like I've done so much personal growth, and the way that the show is talking about me, it's like attempting to keep me confined in a box labeled homewrecker or like shame on you or, you know, this is a bad person. And I've done everything in my power to change my behavior. So it's like a weird time capsule re-experiencing all of this with a little bit more context, getting the cast reactions to it. It's bizarre because it's very easy to get sucked back into that headspace that's not healthy.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? When you put the episode out, what did you expect the cast reactions to be like?
So I wasn't sure if the show was still filming. I thought maybe by August they would have wrapped filming, but I guess it makes sense that the cast would have a reaction.
When you put it out, what was going through your head?
I really wanted to take accountability for my actions. I wanted to demonstrate that I've reflected on how my behavior had impacted the people around me. And I also wanted to hold the show accountable for the messed up situation. You know, yes, I chose to put myself in hot water, but the way that the network capitalized off of it and didn't want to protect me at all. And yeah, that was super hurtful. So I wanted to call that out. And Bethany seemed like her values were in alignment with mine. And I wasn't really so much thinking about, oh, how is the cast going to react? Because I already had fractured friendships with all of them. It was kind of like a done deal. But I will say at that time, I was still protecting Tom. And I chose not to throw him under the bus because I still had those feelings for him, where I didn't want to quote unquote betray him, even though he betrayed me first. So I wasn't very hard on him. And we definitely didn't talk about him the way I talk about him now. So there's been more processing that I've
been able to do.
Did you expect the cast reactions to be on this season?
No. It's kind of like, whoa, this is an intense episode right now. Yeah, I was not expecting that.
And so watching their reactions back now, are they kind of in alignment with what you would expect from them, or did some surprise you?
It's a good question. I feel like they demonstrate their character consistently. Sheena coming to mind, how she reacted, like with a lot of anger. But I certainly didn't expect to be talked about to the level of it being this topic of this entire episode. Speaking of Sheena, the next quote that I would like to pull from the episode is Sheena talking to Ariana and Lala, saying, "She said I had some savior complex and that our friendship was equally beneficial. As far as I helped her, she helped me." And then she was like, "I paid rent. I paid the bills." I'm like, "Bitch, you contributed $1,000 to my $4,300 rent. You didn't pay for parking. You didn't pay for cable. You didn't even stock toilet paper. And you had sex in my bed." What I actually said was,
so Sheena was one of my best friends. She offered her apartment to me to stay in while I was figuring out my next moves after breaking up with James. She kept this apartment in LA but wasn't living in it because she was living down in San Diego. Mm-hmm. But she started creating this narrative that she was the sister I never had and the mother, like a mother to me, and that she gave me a place to live when nobody else would, you know, put me up anywhere, and that I didn't pay rent, which is not true. I did pay rent. And I also cat sat for her cat, who was pumped with mercury for a treatment. She couldn't be near the cat because she was breastfeeding for her daughter. Mm-hmm. And I also did her podcasts. And she said the one podcast that I did with her talking about my breakup with James was the number one most listened to podcast. So I know that it's just unfortunate that she's trying to create this narrative that I've taken advantage of her when I feel like I did contribute in a way that would really...
You're saying it was a quid pro quo. It was a mutually beneficial relationship within a television show, which is all murky anyway.
Right. Sheena's going tit for tat, and she offered her apartment for me to stay in a time that I was struggling with a heartbreak, and I wasn't sure if I was going to go back to the show or if I was going to go back to school and get my master's. And she was like, "You're helping me out by just paying $1,000 because I'm not living in this apartment. Brock and I are staying in San Diego, and this helps me out so I have a place to stay in LA when I come back." And she was like, "Take the master bedroom when Brock and I are gone." The way she's like, "Oh, and she had sex in my bed." Like, yeah, you knew that. Like, you were encouraging me. You were setting me up with different guys to go on dates with. And she encouraged me to talk about my sex life on her podcast that we filmed on her bed. So now you have a problem with it? There's incongruence with what she's saying and what her expectations were of me as a roommate. Now we move into Allie and James talking. Allie says, she says that she was just upset after your breakup. She wasn't over you. She never actually loved Tom, which is funny because that's not what she was saying last summer. And then it like flashes back to me telling Andy Cohen that I was in love with Tom at the reunion. And this is what I actually said.
Were you what you believed to be in love with Tom?
I believed I was in love with Tom at the time. I now look back on it and see that I was not in love with him. I also don't believe that he truly was in love with me either.
Looking back on your relationship with Tom today, do you think that what you had was love?
I think there was a part of me that was in love with him, but true love is not somebody calling you selfish for you, like, taking care of your basic needs. And I don't think Tom really loved me. I don't know. What's love anyway? Like, it was definitely intense. It was definitely infatuation. It was manipulative. It was secretive. It was toxic in that way because there were secrets. It was not healthy. And because of all of those things, I don't think that that's actually love. I thought I was in love with Tom at that time. I really did. And it took me a long time to get over him and choose to not contact him again. I thought there was a future for us, you know? It was infatuation, but I thought maybe it could develop into real, real love, like a selfless type of love. But it wasn't that at all. And I feel like the foundations of how a relationship starts is super important. I don't think it would have worked out. It wouldn't have.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Were there any signs to you before you went actually into the facility? Were you like, what were you grappling with before you went in?
The main issue, the main source of our arguments were he needs to break up with Ariana publicly because it's not fair to me, nor is it fair to Ariana. And he would say that I was holding that over his head and he's actively breaking up with her and he is taking all the right steps to do that in an amicable way. My God, this guy's delusion.
And our biggest argument is when I saw someone else, like I was seeing someone before Tom and I got involved. And this was the person that I was talking about on Sheena's podcast. He hit me up and we hung out and I told Tom about it and he called me a sociopath. And I said that that's not fair because I want to be exclusive with you, but since you're not exclusive to me, hence being in a public relationship, that's not fair to me. You know, like I'm in my 20s. I'm supposed to be living my life. I'm supposed to be dating other people. And he really threw me for a loop because then he accused me of being a sociopath.
So now looking at it again in live time, you're reliving it through these episodes. And then yet the after show is real time. And he is really claiming, you know, you were the bad guy in this situation and you let him on and he's so hurt. And he's the only one that's worked on himself. Like, how does that make you feel?
Gosh, yeah, he's making it seem like he's a victim of me. Both James and Tom made it sound like they were victims of me in this episode. And once again, Tom calling me selfish, which takes me back to the times that he would call me selfish for extending my stay to keep working on myself in the mental health facility. I think it's just ironic because Tom, I don't know what work he's done, but it does not show. It doesn't translate into what he talks about and how he acts.
Tom goes on to say, Rachel, to Tom Schwartz, I don't understand how she could think that I was anything but somebody who just loved and cared about her. I would do anything for her.
No, he was not somebody who loved and cared about me. He was somebody who was controlling and manipulated the situation to keep me in his grasp. And I know that may sound extreme, but this is the situation. And I'm not trying to victimize myself either. Like, I am taking these active steps to never put myself in that situation again. And I'm able to recognize the red flag so I don't put myself in that situation again. But he wanted to control me. And if I went to work on myself, then he became the victim of me, because now his needs aren't being met because I'm not there. This is just lip service right here. I would do anything for her.
I will say in all the conversations that he had with me too, you were trying to better yourself. And this is the part that blows my mind, an inpatient facility to work with counselors 24/7. And he was saying that you were selfish. He was saying that you weren't seeing to his needs. And he was telling me all the time that you had to get out of there. You were being brainwashed. You were being brainwashed. Mm-hmm. You have to reintegrate into society as quickly as possible and get back to the show. To me, all of those things are controlling and manipulative. And why would anybody think that somebody would choose to go to an inpatient facility for 3 months if they didn't think they needed it?
Well, he tried to talk me out of going multiple times. Well, he successfully talked me out of going the first time, and I chose to go to the reunion. He was telling me, he was telling my parents that this place was going to brainwash me, that it's a cult, that I can't go there. And the reason why he didn't want me to go is because he knew that I would get good therapy and that it would jeopardize his control over me.
So knowing all of this and seeing his reaction to what you said about him and seeing how much it broke him down on the episode, was that surprising to you?
No, he's upset about, I believe that we see Tom breaking down on this episode because he's upset that he officially has lost control of me. Like, I've gone rogue. And that's why he's upset. And I think he's scared.
When Tom is talking to James later in the episode, He says, throughout this whole process, I really tried to look out for Raquel. I'm realizing now that I cared for her way more than she cared for me.
Oh, God.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, he tried to look out for me. No, he didn't. He didn't care. He didn't care how all of this was going to affect me. He probably knew that eventually this was going to all come to light, and he did not do anything to protect me.
Do you think he actually believed that he was looking out for you?
I don't know. But when he says that I cared for her way more than she cared for me, I substitute the word care for control. Like, caring is not controlling behavior. And maybe in his brain, he felt like he was looking out for me, but he wasn't. No, I really don't believe that he was. And I don't believe that he thought he was. Like, he was deciding to, I don't know, like, get involved like this, knowing that. And I was too. Like, this is where my piece of accountability comes in too. And maybe I can give him a little bit of grace because he was going through a tough time in life with a bar opening and all of his money going into it, and he wasn't happy in his relationship, and he needed to seek, I mean, he was drinking a lot too, and he was trying to find some sort of escape. And in a way, we found each other to escape together, and it was like the perfect storm. But I don't believe that he was truly looking out for me at all. Plus, if you think about respecting somebody, caring for somebody, loving somebody, you don't record somebody on an intimate FaceTime without asking for permission first, if you really care about that person.
He goes on to say, I'm listening to the shit that's coming out of her mouth, and I'm like, it's bullshit. It's so goddamn disrespectful. She used me, and now she's throwing me away.
It's wild. His mindset, he believes that I used him. What purpose does it serve me to use Tom Sandoval in this way? It's not to become more famous. If it was, I would have gone back for another season of Vanderpump Rules. It's not for storyline purposes for me. I think maybe he's hurt, but he feels used. I think I was really broken and I needed somebody to help me process through the heartbreak that I was experiencing with James. And he was that person to me. And I was also that person to him through his tough time and him confiding in me about his relationship. So in a way, we kind of used each other as an escape. But now he wants to play the victim and say that I just used him and now I'm throwing him away. Not true.
So now you're in the Meadows. What are the epiphanies that you had realizing that his love wasn't true love or healthy kind of love, or it was manipulation or narcissism or whatever you learned? What was that epiphany for you that it turned around and you started healing?
Do you mind if I grab my journal really quick? I can tell you exactly what.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
For someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's see. Oh man, this part. Okay, so we watched movies at the Meadows, and one of them was Harry Potter. Of course, wrote, "I feel like Jenny Weasley in Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets when Tom Riddle has her under his spell. He has her do all of these things out of her character, out of her integrity to appease Tom. Am I playing the victim role by saying this? Essentially, Tom has manipulated me and had me under his love spell. That was so intoxicating and fun and quote unquote intimate. He turns me against my family. He said that my mom is gaslighting me and manipulating me and that she doesn't have my best interest at heart. My mom has ulterior motives, he says. He tries to talk me out of treatment. They're going to brainwash you. There isn't such a thing called love addiction. This place is a last-ditch effort. Extending is a bad idea. You are becoming dependent on this place. He calls me selfish for staying." I shared with him that I was having really dark thoughts, and I told him I was extending 2 more weeks. And he said that that was a bad idea. And I said, "I'm scared if I come out of what might happen if I'm having these dark thoughts." He said, "That's still a bad idea. I've been having to rough it out here alone."
What does it feel like reading this stuff back now?
Let me think about this. I feel like I'm very thankful that I've had this experience to go in and get mental health care and intense trauma therapy, because without it, I would have remained under Tom's spell. And it took me, like, this is towards the end of my journal. So it took me all of this time to get to this point where I was like, "Oh my God, he is always playing the victim role. He is switching the script on me to manipulate me and to control me. And he calls me selfish." And reading this back, it's like, wow, yeah, I really saw him for what he actually is. And it's cool too, because I've now been able to talk about it on this podcast. And back when I did Bethany Frankel's podcast, I wasn't in the space to talk about it so freely. So I think that just goes to show, like, how far I've even come from that point. Because it's one thing to admit it to yourself, and it's another to admit it to the whole world. But yeah, this was like the game-changing journal entry. It's like pages long of undeniable conversations.
If you could go back and say something to that girl who wrote those pages in the journal, what would you say to her?
I would say, I am so freaking proud of you. I'm so proud of you that you are finally seeing things for how they truly are and not living in this land of illusion. And this is exactly what is needed to be able to break out of that denial and to really face the facts. And the first step to choosing a healthier, safer relationship that you ultimately want. So I am so freaking proud of you.
So I want to switch gears a little bit to something that James said to Tom. She got with you because she wasn't quite over me. What are your thoughts on that? And do you feel like that's really what happened?
I mean, I think it's just funny that he's interpreting it this way because it feeds his ego. And in a way, I guess it's a little bit true because I was heartbroken over the fact that James moved on with Allie so quickly and he was shoving it in my face, or that I chose to film. And, you know, I guess I signed up for that heartbreak, even though I didn't even know what heartbreak really was. In a way, I did get with Tom because I wasn't able to process my emotions that I was feeling with James. And I don't know. I think this whole conversation was weird, though. Like, it was kind of like they were trying to one-up each other and, like, claim their territory. And
it seems like he said that as almost like to brag to Tom. Did you feel
yes.
that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it felt like he was trying to one-up him by being like, oh, well, she only got with you because she wasn't over me. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear that both of these guys have big egos.
Hearing him say that on the episode, when you watched it back, what was your gut reaction to that comment?
I wasn't even really caring what they were saying specifically. It was more of like my reaction to that whole conversation that they had, that back and forth with each other, just shows how idiotic both of them are. It was very weird to watch and laughable, really. I felt really uncomfortable watching this entire episode, especially that scene.
So Lisa says, what can Raquel possibly say that is going to make anybody look at her in a better light? How does that make you feel?
Oh, Lisa Vanderpump, you love to ride for your Tom Sandoval, but anything that I say will never change people's points of view. It's like bizarre to me. Also, the way that they were saying like, oh, you know, like Tom has been through so much and all of these disclaimers at the beginning of the season of dark thoughts and suicide hotline stuff. It just seems like production cares about Tom's mental health. But when it's like actually my mental health on the line, they don't take it seriously. They don't care. They don't want to believe that I'm actually going through something. But then they want to baby Tom. It's just infuriating. It almost feels like hopeless. I feel like I'm really fighting a battle that is impossible to win because they're spinning all of this stuff to put me in the worst light. And all I want to do is move on. Then when they do this and it's inaccurate, I have this urge to defend myself because I do want to keep moving and living and trying to enjoy life without all of this toxicity. And it's like, I'm really fighting. But no matter what I do, it just seems to be always wrong. Like, I can't win. So what do? I guess I just have to like let go and surrender. Or it's like, what am I supposed to do? Just let them talk about me and not defend myself?
Why do you feel this desire to defend yourself and not just walk away completely?
Because I've worked so hard on myself. I've dedicated this whole past year to bettering myself and to take accountability and change my behavior. And I don't like being misrepresented. And I think this is also the struggle too of battling with that need for validation and knowing what that limit is, because at a certain point, it's like, does it even matter? Does it matter what other people think of me? Like, it should only really matter what the people I interact with in person on a weekly basis or daily basis, like actual real conversations and connections and friendships. Feeling how I felt watching episode 12 of Vanderpump Rules this week just confirmed everything that I suspected, because just consuming it made me go mentally unwell. And if I'm able to feel that way just by viewing it, imagine how I would have felt experiencing it firsthand and being in these conversations with these people that actually don't have any regard for my mental well-being at all.
Looking back on the Bethany interview, what are your thoughts on it now? Do you regret your decision? Would you have done anything differently? Or do you stand by going on the show and saying what you said?
I feel like it was the right decision for me to be able to share my story freely, openly, which gave me some control back in this world that was completely out of my control. You know, all of these stories, all of these lies, it was just very daunting and seemed like there was no light. And Bethany gave me a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm happy that I was able to go on, because I shared how I felt and my thought process at that time. And like, I worked my freaking butt off at the Meadows to get down to the bottom of it, because I wanted to know for myself so that I could choose better for myself next time. And I feel like I was able to articulate exactly what that was for me. And I am very proud of that courage that it took to go on that podcast. I think that it was the right decision for me.
Thank you so much for listening to Rachel Goes Rogue. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok for exclusive video content at Rachel Goes Rogue Podcast.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.